If you open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, we're going to be taking a look at this morning, verses 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The word of God for the people of God. Have you ever had one of those moments where you felt like maybe you weren't the smartest, most handy person in the world when it came to fixing things? I had one of those moments not too long ago, and it was with technology. Now, I am not what you would call a technology guru, okay? I get by. I know how to turn things on and turn them off and change the input on the television and do a few things like that, but we had purchased for Christopher for his birthday one of those Xbox consoles, and we had set it up. I figured out how to do all that, and then one day I went down. It hasn't even been a month and a half. He's played on it, enjoyed it, and it wasn't working, and I was very frustrated that it wasn't working, and I looked around at it, and I added new batteries to the remotes and did everything I knew how to do, so I thought. And then I called somebody up over at the store, the GameStop, where we had purchased it. And after a long conversation, they had me try like 10 different things. And they said, well, why don't we unplug it and plug it into a different outlet and see if that fixes it? So I go to unplug it, and I realized someone had already done that. So here this whole time, I've been trying to make something work that had no power to it. Now, I share that with you, and I hope I'm not the only one that's happened to, by the way. I think that's why Comcast, if you're ever working with them or DirecTV or any of them on the phone, the first thing they ask is, go make sure it's plugged in, because it's for people like me. They want to make sure that we're actually got it plugged in. But anyway, the reason I bring that up with you is because to try and live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit, it's like being unplugged. It's like trying to work that console when it has no power in it. And then we wonder, we sense that something's wrong in our walk. We sense that something's wrong in our churches and when the Holy Spirit's not being sought and trusted and we're not following his lead. We know something's amiss, but we don't know what it is. We don't know who it is. You know, Charles Stanley said, somebody wrote him a letter one time and said, the Holy Spirit could leave my church for, and it would be 6 months before anybody ever noticed. I hope we would notice a little faster than that. I hope we would notice immediately. But here's the state that we're in Christianity today. 58% of professing Christians, according to Barna Group, which does a whole lot of polls and a very good at scientific polling, 58% of Christians, according to them, when asked about the Holy Spirit, say that the Holy Spirit is symbolic of the presence or power of God, but not a person or being. Think about that for a second. That means 58% of Christians in America don't believe the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. Don't believe the Holy Spirit is a unique being that is one with the Father and one with the Son. And then we wonder why we're struggling in Christianity in America. It's because we've unplugged it. And we're trying to fix everything. We're trying to add new batteries to the remote. We're trying to go in there and sync it up and hold this button for 10 seconds, let it go for 30, hold it another 10. We're trying to do all this stuff in our churches when what we really need is the Holy Spirit. Let's take our passage this morning, right? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, when he says, I will give you another, he means one similar to him, right? Of the same power, the same strength, the same glory. Another of him. But also, when he uses the word another, he means someone unique. Someone who is unlike him. Otherwise, he would say, it's just me in a different form. And that's a mistake sometimes we make with the Holy Spirit. We deny his personhood, and we treat the Holy Spirit as an it rather than a being. And my friends, that's a dangerous proposition, because when we treat the Holy Spirit as an it, then our question becomes this: how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? How can I get more of it? In the same way that you might go to a restaurant that has delicious food and you might say, can I get a second helping? Now, we don't need second helpings, do we? I don't need any. But in the same way that we'd want more of anything, we say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. Not at all. And I don't know if anybody else has, but I've prayed, Lord, give me more of your Spirit. Anybody ever prayed that? Tell me I'm not the only one. Come on. Other people, we prayed that. We've heard people pray that, but that's not the prayer. If you want the Holy Spirit to operate more in your life, that's not the prayer you pray. Why? Because when you were born again, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within your heart. He's there. You have been sealed for eternity. If you have truly been born again, you have been the Holy Spirit. You're sealed for eternity. He speaks with your spirit. That is a done deal. You don't get a second and third helping of him. That's not how it works. Instead, the prayer, if we know that the Holy Spirit is a being and is one with the Father and one with the Son, then our prayer becomes this: Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to have more of me. See the difference? One, we're trying to control the Holy Spirit, the first prayer. Lord, I want more of it. The second one, we're like, no, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to have more of me. Now we're trying to surrender. Now we're trying to submit. You know, I could take you through all kinds of scriptures that show you the personality of the Holy Spirit, that show you he has a unique will and unique passions and a unique purpose all on this earth. I could walk you through them. We don't have time for that this morning. I just want to give you one example. When Paul was discussing spiritual gifts in the church, and people, he was dealing with people being jealous of each other about their spiritual gifts and holding certain gifts above all the others, like somehow they're greater. And he says, no, we need all the gifts in the body of Christ. We need them all operating. We need them all impacting the body of Christ for the glory of Christ. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives those gifts. And then the verse says, and he gives them as he wills it. Notice that. He doesn't say he gives it as the Father wills it or as the Son wills it. No, he gives them as the Holy Spirit as he wills it. That's important. That establishes personhood. The Holy Spirit is a person. So when we say another advocate, we mean another like Jesus, but distinct from Jesus. And that term advocate, that doesn't even do it justice. I mean, you see it, if you look at 10 different translations, it'll be advocate, comforter, sustainer, helper, and the list goes on and on of all the different things that we use to describe that one word. The word is parakletos in the Greek, and it literally means to come alongside and help. That's who's dwelling within you. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the another advocate, another one who has come alongside to help you is dwelling within you. That's important, because then it opens up, well, if he's here to help, how does he help? Right? We could make a list of ways the Holy Spirit helps. If you want to learn about who the Holy Spirit is and why he's here, start with John 14, read all the way through 16. And you will see over and over again the calling that the Holy Spirit has while he's here, the will he is carrying out. He wants to point everybody to Jesus. He's here to counsel. He's here to guide. He's here to convict the world of their sin. He's here to advocate. You know, we're told elsewhere, if we don't have the words to pray, that it's the Holy Spirit that will provide the words with groanings and in ways that we can't even comprehend. The Holy Spirit is your friend. What do we have in the gift of the Holy Spirit? Why did I describe him as the gift that keeps on giving? Because we have in him companionship. Companionship. What happens if you take him out? A couple verses down it says, I don't leave you as orphans. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're operating essentially as an orphan. You're going through this life as an orphan. And you wonder why you don't feel the presence of God and you're missing out on it. It's because you're missing out on another advocate, that Jesus himself said, it's better for me to go away so that he could come. Now, why would Jesus say that? How many of us would long for Jesus, for me to sit down and Jesus to stand up here and start teaching? Anybody want that? I do. And so, why would Jesus say, it's better that I go so that the Comforter can come? Because Jesus, while he was here in the flesh, where could he be? Where he was, one place at a time. Jesus couldn't be at Nazareth and also be in Jerusalem while he was here in the flesh. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is in this church right now, dwelling in the hearts of believers, and he's in the church down the road, and he's in the church across the country. He's in the church in China. He's in the church in every nation, in every language, pointing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, it's for your good that I go so that he can come. Pentecost, that's what we celebrate. We just sang it, that old-time Pentecostal power. So why do we struggle so much with him? Because we're afraid. We might not act afraid, but we're afraid to see what the Holy Spirit might do if we just said, this worship service is yours. We're not going to have a bulletin today. We're afraid to see what might happen if we woke up one morning and we say, God, this day is yours. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. It's yours. Guide me through your spirit. We're afraid to live on those terms. But if you go to other parts of the world, those are the exact terms that they live on, because they have no choice. But because they're being persecuted and they're being hard-pressed on every side, and they go from one place to another. I remember a story I read where a missionary got off a plane, and immediately upon getting off the plane, he was walking down the tarmac, and he got kidnapped. And he thought, I didn't even make it 5 minutes. And he said that with a little humor. And he thought, well, Lord, if it's my time to go, I wish I'd have got to tell somebody about Jesus. Lo and behold, the people who kidnapped him were the people he was coming to speak to. And the Holy Spirit had told them that if they didn't get him right away, that he was going to be killed. And so they kidnapped him and took him away to safety. And then he began to teach them and instruct them in the ways of Christ. The Holy Spirit will be as involved in a person's life as we allow him to be. I'll give you an example. couple of Wednesday nights ago, I was leaving church and I was going down Briley Parkway, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, call Diane Blocker. If you don't know Diane, she sits up here. She's been in the hospital. I should have mentioned her during prayer time. She's now at a rehab place. She needs your continued prayer. She had a brain bleed, and she's improving greatly, but she has a much more to go. The Holy Spirit said, call Diane Blocker. And I thought, well, it's, you know, okay, I will. And so I picked up my phone and I called her. And I hear tears on the other end of the phone. And she said, Brother Kenny, I have just been in a car accident. And the airbags deployed, and I'm scared and I'm alone. And could you come help me? And I said, I'll be right there. And I turned around and I came back over to where Gallatin Road and Walton Lane intersect. And I pulled in there and was there with her at that moment, helped her get her stuff out of the car. We got her back to her apartment, helped her to get settled. Imagine if I would have just ignored the Holy Spirit then. I imagine the police officer would have given her a ride back to her house. But how much did it mean for her friend and her pastor to be the one who was there with her in her time of need? The Holy Spirit will speak to us. He will guide us. You know, Scripture says He is the great teacher. Here, right here, we have the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. He helps us to comprehend truth. He helps us to recognize falsities. He helps us to recognize deceits. He helps us to know what is true, what is honorable, what honors Christ, and what does the opposite. But will we listen? One of my happiest moments in youth ministry was at a youth conference where they taught false doctrine. And you thought that might sound a little strange, but give me a second. Why was it one of my happiest moments? Because upon hearing the false doctrine, the youth in our church looked over at me and they said, Kenny, that is false teaching. And I said, hallelujah! They recognized false teaching. They weren't afraid to say it. And they called it out for what it was. And it was a prosperity gospel. That if you just believe it, that it'll happen to you. Give birth to an idea and every good thing you want. God's a magic genie that you rub them and then everything you want, your wildest dreams will all come true if you have enough faith. And they said, that's not true. And I said, praise the Lord, you were able to recognize that. How were they able to recognize it? The Holy Spirit showed them. The Holy Spirit helped them to see and differentiate between teaching that glorifies Christ and teaching that glorifies a person. They were able to see the difference between teachings that cherish our Savior and teachings that spill into humanism. The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Our world is so confused with all of its ideas and conflicts about what is right and what is wrong and the denial of absolute truth. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that Spirit of truth to come and to show us what is true, what is pure, what is just, what is right, what is holy. And when I try and figure it out apart from Him, I'm like that orphan that Jesus talks about. And I wander around hoping that someone will show me. Hoping that maybe I'll be able to figure it out. And I imagine God sitting there the whole time just saying, listen, listen. There's another comforter. He's ready to help. He's ready to be with you. He's ready to guide you. He's ready to strengthen you. You need wisdom? James said, we have not because we ask not. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. He is a Spirit of wisdom. You need strength. You need to discover what your spiritual gift is. Ask the Holy Spirit. You can talk to him, by the way. You can talk to him the way that you would talk to me or anybody that you're friends with, because he's your friend. He's come to dwell alongside you and help you as you serve Christ and lay your life down. So the question I want you to pray this morning is, or not the question, rather, the prayer I want you to pray this morning is this. Lord, I don't want more of the Holy Spirit so I can manipulate him. No, I want the Holy Spirit to have more of me so he can use me as he sees fit. That is the Christian life. It's opposite from the life that the world tries to grab a hold of. The Christian life is one of self-surrender, of laying down your desires and your hopes and your dreams for what Christ has in store for you, which are far better, by the way, than anything you could ever come up with on your own. It's incomparable. And the Holy Spirit is ready to come alongside you and help you do just that. The question is, will you allow him to? Let us pray. Father, we need your Holy Spirit. We need to experience what it's like to be taught and led into truth by him. We need to experience what it's like to follow his lead, and as we seek wisdom, to by faith readily accept and receive the truth that he reveals. Lord, we know that there are all kinds of things that get in the way of us hearing from you, of us experiencing that life full of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you would help us to quiet ourselves, that you would help us to take time in this, sometime today, sometime this week, to turn off all the noises and to say, I'm ready to be taught. I'm tired of being an orphan. I'm tired of living the Christian life without being plugged in when I have this great advocate who has come alongside me to help me to live a life of faith. Lord, help us. Help us surrender to you this morning. Help us to answer that call and receive that blessing that is only found in the presence of the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Respond to the leading of the Spirit. You just heard all about how we have another advocate who is here with us, ready to lead, ready to guide, ready to build you up and draw you closer to Christ. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning. What is he calling you to do? How is he calling you to pray? Is he asking you to come down to this altar and humble yourself before the Lord and say, you know, I've been trying to get more of the Holy Spirit, and I need to start, instead of approaching the Holy Spirit like that, I need to say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready for you to have more of me. Follow his lead. Maybe you're confused about different truths that are being thrown in the body of Christ or in the world today. Ask the Holy Spirit. There is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. He will show you the truth. He's here with us. Respond as he leads you this morning.